In this week's Classical Music According to Yehuda, Alan Shartok and Yehuda Hanani discuss the musical gene in terms of Johann Sebastian Bach's family.
Yehuda Hanani, I guess the first question I want to ask on this particular occasion when we sit down and talk to each other is about the Bachs. You and I once debated who was the greatest musician of all, composer of all times, and you said Bach.
No question.
Yeah, you said no question. And I said, well, I'm not so sure. You know, you had Beethoven, for example. But okay, so my question is, the Bachs, there were generations of them, weren't there?
Yes, yes. It's a phenomenal story. And maybe after we finish, it'll be a little clearer to you why Bach is so head and shoulders above everybody else. So actually, we are having a concert on March 19th dedicated to the Bach family, and we'll feature quite a few of them. His uncle, his sons, one illegitimate son, which is PDQ. Are you familiar?
Very much so. Was on the station for years.
Peter Schickele.
Yes.
Right, right. Anyway, so the musical gene in the Bach family is ancient, is old. There was a prolific colony of Bachs that was spread throughout Thuringia. It's a part of Germany. And the parish records go back to 1372. Many of them named Johannes or its diminutives, Johann and Hans.
So 1372, and we don't even know, because that's when the records go back, whether there was something before that.
That's very possible. That's very possible. They were bakers.
And they all played the cello.
No. They were bakers. They were weavers, miners. They were millers. But all of them were drawn to music. So on the
so
side.
The miners were writing music?
Yeah, not writing, playing.
Playing music.
So they were fiddlers. They were town pipers.
And so, that's how we got a minor key, right?
That is right, Alan. Yeah, some of them were majors in the army, and that's how we got the major key.
Right.
The first full-time musician in the Bach family is Kaspar, and he was born in 1578, and he launched this 200-year Bach dynasty, six generations, culminating with, of course, Johann Sebastian and his children, and vanishing with grandchildren. That's interesting. Why did it stop with Bach's children? Completely disappeared.
I'm sorry, I'm not following. So you're saying that...
So Bach's children, there were a lot of them. They were all musicians, great musicians, and their children were not.
Well, we see this all the time. People go to medical school, their children go to medical school, and then their children fix cars in Silver Springs, Maryland.
Okay. Yeah, but still, it's quite interesting that it goes for generations and generations, and then at a certain point, it just vanishes.
Well, how can you possibly compete with your own parents and grandparents on a level like that? Look, the Roosevelt boys didn't do too well either.
That's right.
For Franklin's sons.
That's right. Yeah. When Bach was 50, he compiled a genealogy, and he listed 53 professional musicians, all of them men. So there was a certain male chauvinism there. And this male bias is very unfortunate because all of them were keen on marrying into other musical families, and mothers, wives, daughters, all were equal contributors to the flowering of this amazing family tree.
And let's remember, you said when he was 53. 53 back then was old.
That's right.
Really old.
Absolutely, yeah.
There were no antibiotics.
That's right. And this list of women who contributed includes Bach's two wives, who were singers and trained musicians. Just to point out that at the same time there was an equal Baroque dynasty that existed in France, the Couperin clan. And Bach admired François Couperin very much, and the two of them exchanged letters. But those letters were later used as jam pot covers.
How come? Because nobody valued them.
I think it's fascinating. It's a fascinating fact because this preoccupation with posterity and the judgment of history and what will people say 100 years from now, it was the father's thing from their mind.
Yeah.
They just lived.
Can you imagine if somebody somewhere found an old jam pot with one of these letters covering it, what it would be worth?
That's right. The jam or the letter?
The jam may be a little bit messed up.
So if not for the miracle of Johann Sebastian, we would know and hear much more about the other Bachs, like his cousin Johann Christoph, or his son Carl Philipp Emanuel, or his uncle Heinrich. Heinrich was his name.
Heinrich.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they were all not only great composers, but great performers, great players, because the division between composer and performer did not exist.
Yeah. Which is interesting, because you also told us that there was a certain amount of sexism involved, but that the women were performers, but not composers.
That's true. That's true.
I'm listening very carefully to you.
Yeah, that is very interesting. All right. So this is what happens. By developing this, how shall I say, the habit of perfection.
Yeah.
With astounding intelligence and tremendous discipline, Bach was able to identify this elusive divine spark, which for him was at the core of musical and human experience. It was a fusion of music and theology. But before we go any further, let's pay a little tribute to one of the relatives and play a little bit of Carl Philipp Emanuel's music, who was a fantastic composer. So this is a concerto by Bach's elder son, Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach. Thank you.
That was a selection from Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach's Concerto in D minor. Before that, Alan Chartok speaking with Yehuda Hanani. Yehuda's Close Encounters with Music series in Great Barrington, Massachusetts will present a program entitled J.S. Bach and Sons, Legitimate and Otherwise, on Saturday, March 19th at 6 p.m. For more information, visit cewm.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.